quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been beautiful this last week. The sun was shining. It's been a gorgeous, gorgeous winter. We got a little snow on Monday, Thursday, just a decorator snow, just to top off, just to freshen up what we already had. People out walking because the sidewalks are clear. People striding forward towards spring, which is just out there ahead of us. Ice on the lake has gotten soft, and there's one fish house still out there, Mr. Berge's fish house. He has this idea that he can get an inflated raft somewhere, and he could just pole himself out on the ice, and then he can attach a rope to it, and then when the ice goes out, he can tow it into shore. But he doesn't have an inflated raft. He just sits there on the shore watching it sink lower and lower into the ice. And now he's gotten distracted because there's open water and there are ducks out there. He loves these ducks. They remember him from year to year. Odd as that may sound, he has a big bag of cheese curls in his hand. And he shows them the cheese curls, and they come in towards shore. And they go, wah, 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 wah. It's like an audience for him. And he tells them jokes. He closes his hand. And he says, yeah, my leg sort of hurts. I got shot in the war. Oh, really? You got a scar? No, I don't smoke. Ah, wah, 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 wah. He doesn't know many jokes, but the ducks love all his jokes. Over and over, over and over. Call me a taxi. Okay, you're a taxi. Whack, 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 whack. Sits there on the shore. He's going crazy. But in this town, how would you know that? Everybody's making their way uphill in this town. The men's prayer group from the Lutheran Church gathered at Bunsen Motors. They get there once a week. They stand around and they have sloppy joes. And they have shoestring potatoes, and they drink some beer. There used to be prayer, but there isn't anymore. They just talk about the weather and about their children. And it used to be prayer, but the last person who prayed was Clarence and Clint Bunsen's father, Oscar. And he prayed magnificent prayers that went on, and there was kind of an Old Testament feeling about them, and they were long prayers. And then when he got old and he lost his marbles, he would revert to praying in Norwegian. And that was very moving, even if you didn't understand Norwegian, especially if you didn't understand Norwegian. It was like an Old Testament prophet in our midst, and men wept when Oscar prayed in Norwegian, and then he died. And it was so wonderful to hear him pray that nobody prayed again after that, because you couldn't match that. That's the problem with overachievers. They make it impossible for other people to carry on because they were so good. And that's why I have maintained a sort of moderate mediocrity all of my life, to let you people have a chance. You should be more grateful to me than you are, but I just point this out. Not everyone makes you feel inferior. I certainly don't intend to whatsoever myself. Now, there was news, and they were talking about this at Bunsen Motors at the men's prayer group, that Daryl Tollerud's brother, Gunnar, and his wife, Sylvia, have found a home down in Arizona, and they've decided to stay, and they've made a down payment on a double wide near Sedona, Arizona. And so they've made their choice. We're waiting for them to come back, these snowbirds. And we're thinking about what we don't like about them, so that we won't miss them that much when they leave. They were kind of standoffish, and this is the proof of it. And so we won't mention it, of course, when they come back. No, we'll just continue on the way we were brought up to, like the Bunsen boys do. There was a celebration at the prayer group. They were celebrating the fact that they finally paid off the mortgage that they took out in order to pay off Oscar and buy the company from their father, Oscar, only to discover after he had died that he had cheated them, and he got his friend to appraise the business, and the friend appraised it at twice its value. So they've been working hard now for 35 years to pay off, to give their siblings who inherited Oscar's estate money that they're not entitled to, even as the worth of their business has gone down and down and down and down, and they tried to sell it now for the last 3 years, and nobody steps forward to buy it. They have every reason to be bitter, but they're not. They bought a beautiful bottle of cognac, and they flavored the coffee of every member of the men's prayer group, and it was an answer to prayer. It was a beautiful gathering of people. They had no idea why they were there, but they loved being together in a group, which you do at this time of year, to be part of a group and to be crowded in with the others. We're all individuals, and we all have this centrifugal force within us that would cast us off out into the woods to become hermits and hobos and to be together with the, like at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility Church. There was a big dinner on Wednesday to celebrate, I guess, to celebrate the 50th wedding anniversary of Myrtle and Florian Krebsbach, who have been unhappily married now for as long as anybody can remember. Actually, they've been married 59 years, but Myrtle said 50 was enough to be married to an idiot, and if he wanted to be married longer than that, he can do it by himself. She got up in front of everybody, and she looked her friends in the eye, and she said, "I told you 51 years ago, or however many years it was, if I ever considered marrying this man, to shoot me in the head. And where were you? Didn't you hear me?" Well, people looked away. Florian got up and he told the joke, which we've heard 100 times, of the old couple who go to the judge to get a divorce, and the judge said, "A divorce? You've been married for 60 years. You, Lena, you're 89, and Ole is 92 years old. Why now?" And Ole said, "We had to wait until the children died. This would have killed him." It's an old joke. We've heard that joke 100 times, but we all tried to laugh. Sister Arvon was there with her fifth grade ocarina band, and they played Ave Maria, which they kind of got lost in the middle of, and then people thought it sounded like the anniversary waltz, and so they stood up and danced, and then it became Ave Maria again. And Father Wilmer was there, and Pastor Liz sitting beside him. It was very festive gatherings at this time. The Lenten soup suppers at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. You don't think of Lent as being a cheerful time, but it is. You go to the Lenten soup supper at the church, and you go at 5 o'clock, and they have the vegetable soup, the celery and onion soup, and they have split pea with ham. You can take your choice. You sit at a table. People sit in close together. If you sat by yourself, other people would come and sit down by you. It's a very communal supper. You go up for the Lenten service at 5:45, and that's about 45 minutes, and you come back down for bars and coffee. People sit close to each other, and they talk. All these Lutherans, all these adherents of a faith that is a mystery. It's a complete mystery. And half the time we have no idea what it is that we believe in. We believe in the impossible, which we believe God is capable of bringing forth assuming he exists, which we think he does, because we found letters, you know, from God. All through creation we found them. And yet sometimes our faith just disappears like a mist, like a rainbow. You go to point it out to somebody, and where is it? What happened? What happened to it? Well, it's there. We're all together in this group of people. I belong to a writer's group. They get together for dinner every so often, and all these solitary men and women who've been working so hard in dim, dark rooms all by themselves, we come and we sit down together, and we have a meal. We talk. We never talk about our work. Ever talk about our work. We talk about our kids. We talk about when we were kids. But we're all there together. And if this is all we have left to be seals, to be a group of seals on a rock, to be a bunch of primates out in the forest picking fleas off each other, then that's what we have. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.